Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be talking about photography and cameras today, probably about your cell phone as well, with our guest Jack Socha. Back with us once again, he's a photography instructor, author. His book, How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, a great book. And we'll look at trends in photography, cameras, and of course, take your questions. Are you having problems with your camera? Are you, you know, how do you go about taking a good picture? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email to ideas@wpr.org or post your photo or question on our Ideas Network Facebook page. And Jack Socha, it's always fun to have him on. And we're talking about taking pictures. And Brianne Chasseau, who is with Wisconsin Public Radio, of course, you hear her golden voice most every day, said, you know, Larry, we ought to get dressed up for this. If we're going to try and raise money, we need to get dressed up. So here we both are. She has a lovely black blazer to match my own and a wonderful blue dress to match my light blue shirt.
And we didn't plan it. It's the best part.
we really didn't plan it. But I tell you what, we look good. And so we're here hoping that you'll feel good and that you'll maybe help us out here with our funding. Wisconsin Public Radio, we're in our membership drive. The single largest source of funding for WPR programs is from people just like you. And this drive is your chance to support all of the programs you listen to throughout the year. So, hey, take that important step. Donate at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And Brianne, how are we doing, by the way?
I am delighted to report that we heard from 7 donors last hour. So thank you to all who have given. And if you haven't had a chance yet, now's the time. Our goal during this show is 20 pledges.
20 pledges. Help pay for the programs you rely on every day when you give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And here's one of my favorite fun facts about Wisconsin Public Radio, Larry. You might think that we operate largely with tax dollars, and we do get funding from the federal government and from the state, but it's voluntary listener contributions that make up the single largest source of funding for WPR programs.
Yeah, it's a wonderful figure in so many ways. But you know what? We need the support of our listeners. We need your support. It's vital to keep WPR on the air. And now that you know how important listener support is, I hope you'll make your pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And I remember the first time I heard Wisconsin Public Radio. It was in the Minnesota-Wisconsin border countryside in my parents' car. And maybe you too have your first childhood memory of hearing WPR on your parents' radio, and you've become hooked. You can't get enough of the news, in-depth conversations, music, and great entertainment.
Now that you're all grown up like me, I heard it. I was living on a farm, of course, with my parents, and we listened in the kitchen, as a matter of fact, because that was also where we ate, in the kitchen. It's your turn, though. What about you? Do you listen in the kitchen or in the car? Where do you listen? It's your turn to become a member like your parents to help pay for the hours of high-quality program you've enjoyed day after day and year after year. Join the WPR family. Support the radio that's been part of your life since when you can remember. You can start with a gift. Maybe it's $10 or maybe it's $20 at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
We have a special thank you gift this drive. Reach out and read books for kids.
I'm Dr. Dipesh Nafsaria. I'm an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin, and I'm founding medical director of Reach Out and Read Wisconsin. What we do through Reach Out and Read is use primary care checkups and hand the book directly to the child. It's about familiarity with the books. They start to get it, getting this idea that print conveys information. It's about associating it with a loving, tender moment with their caregiver.
Do two good things at once when you support WPR programs and ask for the Reach Out and Read Books for Kids thank you gift. Give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
Just pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Brian Chasso, and here to tell you that listener support is the single biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones that you rely on, and that's why your support during our spring membership drive is so important. And I don't care, it's $10 a month or $100 a month, wonderful if you could afford that. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And we are so glad to have you with us, and we want to... We want you to spend your time with us, and we value your time. And so give now, because your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. And you can pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's quick and easy to do. I know, because every time we have a pledge drive, I talk myself into another contribution. So I know that it's easy. Take a few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I tell you what, we can really help. Hope that you'll contribute. Your gift, it's very powerful, really makes a difference. So go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your pledge of support. And you know what? We're going to take a look and talk with Jack Socha coming up right now. Brianne will be back a little bit later on. But Jack, are you there?
I sure am. Welcome back here.
Jack, it's great to have you. By the way, Jack is a photography instructor. He's been with us many times. He talks about taking great pictures, talks about all different kinds of cameras. He's got some really cool ones to talk with us about today. The boutique cameras. He calls them.
You know, Larry, I must mention that, especially for those of you who are listening during this pledge drive, that more than 5 years ago, I just called you guys up cold turkey one day to one of your producers and said, would you like to have me on talking about cameras? And you didn't hang up the phone. You listened, and you got me on, and we've been doing this for a long time. My favorite email message I got from one of your listeners was a gentleman who said, I really enjoy hearing about these cameras. I just got a new digital camera. I read the manual. I learned all the controls. It took me a little while. He says, after all, I am 98.
Oh!
So I don't want to hear any of this. I'm 35, and I can't figure this out.
Well, you're not 98, but you've been doing this for a long time.
It is almost amazing. I was teaching classes at Western Technical College on how to use cameras. I produced multimedia CDs on this. I've written for Shutterbug magazine, which is one of the remaining photo magazines still in business, I must tell you. Boy, we've lost a couple of big ones over the past couple of years, but they are still out there. And there's so much information online now. I was just talking to my wife about getting ready for the show, and I said, if you want to learn about cameras that are on the shelves or have been on the shelves in the past, you should go to a place like Steve's Digicams, where there's reviews of current and older cameras that are still there. If you want to find out what's going to be here in 6 months, there's a thing called photorumors.com. And those are the cameras you can't buy yet, but maybe either you want to hold off for it or just see what's coming down the road. So two ones to keep in mind, Steve's Digicams, if you've got a camera in mind and you want to read some reviews and things like that from professionals, and photorumors.com, if you are just on the bleeding edge and you can't wait to see what's coming down the road.
And by the way, if you have a question for Jack, join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or again, post a question on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Mark emailed to say that he likes photography a lot, and like a lot of other photographers, he has thousands of old slides. Have you ever used one of these services like Scan Cafe to have them digitized, or could he do it himself?
Okay, it all depends on what you're planning on doing with the slides once they're duplicated into digital format. If you're just going to post them on a website, there are little boxes you can buy for under $200 that are essentially a 5-megapixel camera built into a box. And there's little slide carriers and negative carriers, and frequently a thing where you can stick in prints and make copies. Now, they are not going to be reproduction quality, but they're good enough for a website. I've actually used one of those myself. If you're going to do it yourself and you really want to reproduce these, then you need to buy a flatbed scanner with a special top that lights up. no matter which way you do it, it's a lot of work because you've got to dust the slides off, clean them up. And that's why if you try to have it done for you, you'll end up spending probably $2 a piece, which always kills people when they hear they got 9,000 slides. And most of us do. I was in the same situation. I had my father's slide collection, and the magic word is to cull, to go through and get rid of the ones you really don't want. I must have had dozens of pictures of my father's golfing buddies, who I don't know, never met, and never will. I don't need to have those duplicated. So if you spend a day or two going through your slides and tossing out the duplicates, get down to the ones you really, really, really want to have done, see how many there are. It may be worth the money to have them done professionally.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I was looking through some of mine from my iPhone, and you know, I've got 8 pictures in a row of Emily, daughter Emily, standing there in her soccer outfit, you know, on the field. Do I really need 8 pictures? No, they're all the same. I just took, you know, 1 is enough.
Right, and people with slides, you know, you save them all because what the heck, you've got them.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, you know, there are even devices that you can buy that you can place your iPhone on top and take a picture through the little box. It's all illuminated. They're okay for you know, putting on a website or emailing somebody. But if you really want it, something for preservation,
yeah,
you really have to have it done professionally or buy a very high-end scanner. And frankly, even though those are only a couple hundred dollars in some cases, they're a lot of work and you got a learning curve to deal with.
Yeah. Steve in Boulder Junction has something for us. Let's go there. Steve, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm an amateur photographer, maybe somewhere between complete amateur and half-serious hobbyist. I can do okay, but not professional stuff.
Okay.
I've got a couple-year-old Lumix camera, which is it's nice. It does all sorts of nice things for me. I'm just wondering if I would take some classes or something and really get serious about photography, is there ever any reason to get a more advanced camera than what I've already got?
Short answer is no. And I was just, again, having the same discussion just before we got on the air with my wife. A Lumix made by Panasonic is the same company that is making a lot of the cameras for Leica. Very frequently, the lens on the camera will say Leica, which is a really good lens. And I don't know what the megapixels are of your camera, but unless you are, you know, until the camera will not do something that you want it to do.
Yeah.
You want a shot of eagles on the bluff from half a mile away, it's not going to do it. But for most people, the camera that you have does a lot of stuff that you haven't even explored yet. And so I would say just keep using it, learn it, and maybe take a course or get a book or something on exposure so you understand these things and you'll get more out of it. I'm still discovering things on my cameras that I've had for several years.
Yeah.
And one of the big things is to make sure it's set for the highest resolution, the least compression, so that you get the most out of the camera.
Yeah, makes good sense. So hang on to it, Steve. Thanks for calling. Andy in Mount Horeb, it's your turn. Hi, Andy.
Yeah, hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It was a real welcome break because I'm out here in Mount Horeb splitting wood.
Okay.
Periodically, the Madison Public Library has a machine where you can copy your slides free of charge.
Oh, that's a nice thing.
So I know they had it in Mount Horeb about a month ago, and I think it travels around to the different perimeter libraries.
So that's something a person could do if they, you know, check with your local library to see if it's coming to their library.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
That's a great thing. I'd not heard about that. I'll have to check my local libraries on that one. The thing what would also be important is before you go to the library, get a nice little brush and clean up your slides so you don't sit there in the library doing it. But
And I think they also recommend that you take a flash drive with you.
Yeah, to save the images, of course. Yeah, that makes very good sense. I'm marking that one down. That's fantastic.
Thanks, Andy.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate your call. You can join in, too, 800-642-1234. As we visit with Jack Socha, photography instructor, his website is sillycatvalley.com, sillycatvalley.com. And
we actually have two sites now, the original one, AC Press,
Yeah.
It's now strictly for the marketing of the book. But the Silly Cat Valley one is the one where we're converting it over to more creative stuff, you know, camera reviews, some interesting stuff for writers, just silly stuff. And it's named after, of course, the fact that we have a number of silly cats here in our valley.
Okay. Jack Socha, our guest. You know, if I can't get a hold of Jack and I have a question about something going on with my camera, I usually get a hold of Breanne Chasso because she's the photo gal here and the camera gal at Wisconsin Public Radio. So that's one of the reasons she came in today. She wanted to hear what Jack had to say about cameras. And also she's here to help me raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like this one. So I hope you'll support this program, support from people like you is the single largest piece of funding for WPR programs. That's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
And we're looking for 18 more pledges, Larry, in the next 40 minutes. And
all right.
Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support programs like The Larry Mueller Show that you rely on every day.
And now it's 17. Now we're only 17. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
For the three of you who have already given and for all the other people who have given it. If you haven't, really, the time's now. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And I don't need to tell you this, Larry, but you know, some of our regular guests on this program are Peter Green, who helps us out with all of our computer questions, PJ Leash, who answers our endless questions about insects, and of course, Melissa Myers, a nationally known gardening expert.
Melinda is wonderful. She gives us great information. You get great information. Information you can use from people like Jack Socha, Melinda Myers, PJ Leash, Peter Green, and so many others on the program. It's a real pleasure to have them on, and it's your contribution that makes it all possible. So pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's easy to support Wisconsin Public Radio, and really the easiest way to do so is by becoming a sustainer. A sustaining membership is one that's ongoing, either from your bank account or a credit or debit card.
Because it automatically renews, you don't have to remember to write a check every year. Some people give $10 a month, many give $15 or $20 a month. The idea is to pick the amount that works for you. Set it up right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And then you know what you do? You sit back and enjoy the ease and convenience of supporting great radio.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the hosts and the guests both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
And you know what? You can help us out right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. Larry Mueller here with Breanne Chasso asking for your support during our spring membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Maybe it's $50 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Here's one way to think about it. Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. And when you think about it, a dollar a day is an incredible value. It's less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
Dollar a day, obviously that's 30 or 31 bucks a month. And you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge it to your credit card if you're like me and you like the miles that you get with a credit card. Make your pledge right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Larry, guess what?
What? We
16,
add another one?
We did, yes.
We added another one.
Yes,
good.
16 more pledges to go. 30 minutes to get them. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such an important part of funding the programs like the Larry Mueller Show.
And one of the fun and interesting and kind of nice things that we do here during this drive is the Reach Out and Read Thank You Gift. Remember that one when you make your donation. Your donation supports the programs you rely on. And the thank you gift provides books for young children. I think that's just a wonderful idea.
I love this gift.
Yeah, I do too. So you're doing two good things at once when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thanks if you've already contributed. Visiting today with photographer, instructor extraordinaire Jack Socha, author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. It's always great talking with him about shooting pictures. We can talk composition. We can talk types of cameras. We can talk how to make a good photo. Give a call, 800-642-1234. And, Jack, we're going to go and talk to Jan next in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Jan.
Hello.
What's on your mind today?
Well, years ago, sorry about that dog bark.
No problem.
Years ago, I invested in a view camera. And it was a Bender view camera, so I built it myself. And then I bought three Schneider lenses for it and a tripod and all of that. And I haven't used that camera in years. And presently, I just use an iPhone with Photoshop to manipulate photographs. Do you have any thoughts on what I should do with that old view camera?
Well, actually, you know, you probably are at a good moment because a lot of, I will say, millennial generation people are suddenly rediscovering some stuff that some of us kind of stopped doing years ago. And you should hunt around, for example, Facebook or whatever, to find groups of enthusiasts who are dealing with view cameras, because I can almost guarantee you that there'll be somebody out there who either wants the camera or the whole outfit or the individual lenses. There's a lot of people doing direct paper reversal photos now. They're not really developing the film. They're just putting a piece of paper in and then developing the paper and making a contact print from that. There is an active artistic community, and someone will want that camera.
Oh.
Okay. When in doubt, put it on eBay, put a reserve price or check and see what other ones are selling for. I remember those cameras. It's a cool camera.
Yeah, cool.
Well, they used to be able to do things that, you know, were unbelievable compared to just a regular camera.
Yeah.
And of course, nowadays with the digital methods, it's so much more work to use that camera.
Yeah, but there are people that are now thinking, you know what? It's worth the work. Isn't that right, Jack?
That's right. I always say that sometimes you feel like Ansel Adams and sometimes you feel like Andy Warhol. And there are Ansel Adams types out there who still will want your camera.
Good luck. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Rose in Cumberland, Wisconsin, your turn. Hi, Rose.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
So my dad was in the Vietnam War, and he took lots of pictures when he was over there. But when he returned to the States as a young man, he was in a fire, and it melted some of his pictures together. Is there any way that we can try to restore them?
Ooh.
Are you talking about prints that were melted or negatives or slides?
Well, they were prints. Okay. I don't think we have the negatives because he used to develop pictures, his own pictures in his basement.
Yeah, they're stuck together, and this happens even in humidity in some cases. I would probably talk to a reference librarian to see if they have an expert on board or someone they can get hold of who has dealt with this. I would not try it yourself. I think it could involve using some kind of water and mild detergent to try to separate it, but you've got to be careful that you don't
have the emulsion that makes up the picture come off. So I would check with a reference librarian. Since they're doing stuff in Wisconsin with duplicating slides, they're pretty into preservation these days.
Oh, all right. And even the, the Wisconsin Historical Society, if you can't find somebody, Wisconsin Historical Society maybe have someone who could tell you where to go to find that person as well, the person you need. Thanks again for calling, Rose. Well, let's go to Kay in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Kay.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I'm looking for a inexpensive program like Photoshop, but I can't afford Photoshop.
Oh, have I got a solution?
Yeah. I know. I knew you were going to be smiling, Jack, when that question came in.
I love that question. I'm a big fan of not paying a lot of money for software unless you really, really need it. I mean, my wife has all that stuff because, you know, she does a lot of work on publishing books. I don't. I work for a lot of nonprofits who can't afford things. So over the years, I have gathered a list of 6 or 7 digital imaging programs that are absolutely free. And not only that, they're also not up on the cloud. You can put them on your computer. If
that
you go
wonderful.
To... Oh, and believe it or not, the latest one put on there is now an older version of Photoshop, which they have released for free. But I use all of them. I use them constantly. If you go to that sillycatvalley.com site, it's just all one word together, sillycatvalley.com, and you go to the photo section, which is a little drop-down menu, you'll see an article called, I think it's 6 free editing programs. And I guarantee you there will be at least one, if not many, that you will say, hey, this is great. You just download them. They're absolutely free. There's no strings attached. And be always, though, when you do that, and I say this in the article, go to the author's site, because a lot of places will offer you the free download and they'll want to attach something else to it. Go to the site links that I have there on the article. And they're free, and I guarantee it, you'll find something you'll love.
Thank you so much. Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
I have a digital camera, but it has the older, large card in it.
The compact flash card. Yeah, the big one.
Yeah. Is there any way to hook that directly to the computer?
Oh, sure. There are compact flash card readers you can buy. They're usually multi-card readers. They've got several slots, and you can just buy one of those. You can get them for under $20 in many cases, and you plug that into the USB port of your computer, and then you put the card in that slot, and away you go.
There you go. Thank you so much for calling, Kay. Appreciate your call. Jack Socha, our guest today, photography instructor. His website again, sillycatvalley.com. And, you know, Brianne Chasso just joined me again. And, you know, thinking about Kay here, she just saved herself a big pile of money because Jack has some free services there for her that are going to, you know, instead of spending a few $100, he told her how to get it for free.
I may have already gone to his website and looked at those because I use certain services at work, but for my own stuff at home, I don't pay for the software. So I think that's awesome advice, and I can't wait to check out those tips.
And I think it's awesome that half of our funding or so comes from listener contributions. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, that Brianne's with me here today. It's the single largest source of our funding. Your gift, think about this now, your gift keeps the programs you value, including this one, on the air. So I hope you'll make your contribution right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. We've moved slowly.
And every little bit counts.
Yes.
And so we are excited to tell you that we are looking for 15 more pledges in the next 25 minutes.
Down from 20.
And these goals that we go by, they're set up to make sure that we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. So make your donation now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
This is, I think this show is an example of the kind of shows that we have from 11 to 12:30 on the Ideas Network. Great guests like Jack Socha who come on and have great advice for you on all aspects of life, be it health or photography or the wildlife and the outdoors or gardening.
Don't forget pets.
pets. You know, how unique is this as a source of information? I think it's pretty unique, and it's possible because we're listener supported. That means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you are making this show possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and then make your pledge.
And let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio. Ask for the Reach Out and Read thank you gift when you give $10 a month or more.
The thank you gift is really cool as well. And I tell you what is the thank you gift? Well, it's the gift that provides books to young children during their doctor visit. I think it's great for parent-child bonding and child development. You can be doing two good things at once. Support the programs you love and ask for the Reach Out and Read thank you gift at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
You know what? I agree with Bruce. I think you would enjoy being a sustaining member. How do you do it? Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Brian Chassel, raising the money that keeps WPR and all the programs you enjoy on the air. And I don't care if your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And let me break this down a bit. A $10 a month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio works out to just 33 cents a day. That's an incredible value.
Make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and you will get a lot in return.
Checking in on our goal here, we have 14 more pledges to go, 20 minutes to get them. You make WPR possible when you give, and you can do so at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift is very powerful, makes a big difference. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you. Taking a look at the world of photography today with Jack Socha, photography instructor, author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. He's got a couple of websites, sillycatvalley.com. If you're interested in the book, go to acpress.com. Always great to have him come by and talk with us. And I want to take some more calls here. Kurt in Poinette. Hi, Kurt.
Hello, Larry. Nice to talk to you again. And Jack, as you know, Larry, I'm a longtime photo enthusiast. Yeah. But I always learn something from Jack when he's on. He should be on more often. comment about the fellow that called about the handmade view camera. I'm a member of a local nonprofit in Madison, and we're having a used gear sale this Saturday at photomidwest.org. And we have, in fact, a couple of 8x10 view camera slide film holders on sale, kind of an oddball. But Jack is right in that there is a resurgence, especially among the millennials, on getting back to film, a wet darkroom. And I just want to put in a plug, if I can, for the photomidwest.org on the west side with our used gear sale Saturday, 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. We have some film gear, a complete OM10 outfit, some digital gear, printers, that sort of thing. We have experts on site. You can answer your questions about slide duplicating to digital. We have slide scanners. So there are those people around the state that can do that sort of thing, and not just libraries that offer scanning services. But
wow. Kurt, thank you so much for that. What's the site again?
PhotoMidwest.org.
PhotoMidwest.org.
Org, yeah. We're on the west side of Madison, and we have 170 members, and we do exhibits, and so we
a lot of fun.
Push for the photo enthusiast bent. So.
Thank you, Kurt. Thanks a lot. He is a wonderful photographer. Jack, that's
it's such a wonderful thing that he called, because now that so many so-called full-service camera stores have gone by the wayside, you need to kind of get in touch with some people who have a little bit of experience to help you out with your questions and help you pick cameras out. In the old days, you could go to a good old-fashioned camera store on a Saturday afternoon, especially if it was raining, and the photographers would all be hanging out there talking about stuff. And those days are kind of gone now in many parts of the country. So that's a wonderful, wonderful asset. I'm really happy he called.
Yeah. Kurt, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. He is really a great photographer. He does wonderful work. Darren in Green Bay will go to you. Hi, Darren.
Hi. I had a question on, I'd seen a local photographer I follow. He does some really wonderful landscape photography, but he's recently done some nighttime shots where, you know, the stars are kind of blurred. As it appears almost as if, you know, it's the rotation of the Earth causing it on an extremely long exposure. I was wondering if that was the case, or how would I, you know, go about replicating that, or is that something that I would have physically move the camera to replicate?
Huh.
No, that's called star tracks, and if you do a little search on the Internet, you can find out more about it. Basically, what they do is they mount the camera on a tripod. They frequently use a film camera, although some digital cameras will remain open for a very long time, and they frequently aim the camera at the North Star. And then the rotation of the Earth does the rest. But it could be, you know, in some cases, not just a few minutes. It could be a several-hour exposure. So the ideal thing for most people would be a film camera of some kind.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought, yeah.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in, too, 800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments. Glad he brought that up. It called to mind some of the things that I was looking at on your site, Silly Cat Valley, when you were talking about cameras and inexpensive cameras and what they can do. And you had some great photos up here of a $20 camera.
Yeah, there's an article I just put up. I stuck it on the front page. I ran across this goofy camera online. I found mine for $18.95. Now, other places are selling it for a lot more money. I have no idea why. I guess it's whatever the traffic will bear. But it is, they're selling it allegedly for kids, and it really is the kids' camera because it's got a lot of stuff built into it that is more of the, I would call it the art crowd. There's many parallel tracks in photography. And like I say, not everybody wants to be Ansel Adams. Sometimes you want to be Andy Warhol, and there are cameras designed for those kinds of people. We used to have the old Diana cameras and the Holgas in the film days. Now there are a few digital cameras that produce oddball results. And unfortunately, in most cases, they also are pretty high-priced. They're like $200, which is a bit much for that. This camera has the same basic circuit board in it as those cameras do, and the same very odd special effects, many of which I have never heard of before, the dog-eye effect. You know, what is that? But for those of you who are interested in just snapping a picture and getting interesting effects with no settings, if you can find one in the price range that I found mine, I think they're really cool. And I did a whole article on them with sample pictures taken at several of the different settings, including they've got the so-called LOMO effect, which is, you know, overexposed center, dark edges, what we used to call bad photography. But it's an amazing camera. There's no brand on it.
How the heck do you find it, then?
Weird little cameras that come out of someplace in China, they'll show up for a while and they'll disappear. But you got to be quick. So I'll go take a look at the article if I were you.
Yeah, and you got it for under $20. Right. I'm looking at these photos.
There's still some left on Amazon, but if you look around, it seems like the same sellers are selling them at all different prices. And if you go on to eBay, you know, they range from $45 to $125. Even at $45, I would maybe consider it. The $20, I definitely would consider.
There we go. Well, here's Gary in Winona, Minnesota with something for us. Gary, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, you're welcome. How are you guys?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to the alternative to Photoshop you guys were mentioning, and I've been using something for years that you might want to mention to the folks out there. It's called GIMP.
GIMP? Oh, yes, sure. That's on my list. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's free. It's a free download. Go to www.gimp.org. And it's a free download, and that's a great program.
It's also cross-platform. You can run it on a PC, on a Macintosh, or on a Linux.
I do it on my PC. I use it for clearing out images, for placing them into photos and stuff like that. And,
yeah, it's fantastic. During the break, I looked up the exact address for those of you who don't want to go and find the menus. You can go to Silly Cat Valley, those are three words pushed together, .com/6free. That's the number 6free, .htm. And that will take you directly to the article.
Yeah, that is really cool. And GIMP, Gary, thank you.
Well, yeah. Hey, man, I hope you get... My dad owned a photo store in Iowa.
Ah!
and I'm an old fart. So I've been shooting pictures since the 1950s.
Oh, well, I tell you what, I appreciate the call. And, you know, I was thinking back to Kurt from Point Ed, who called earlier, because I spent some time in the dark room with Kurt, and that was always a lot of fun. To me, to be able to sort of fool around with those images, that things that you took pictures of. And it's simpler now, but as they say, Jack, it's kind of, people are going back to that a little bit.
Well, and also, you know, the one thing that's important, and I'm not just doing this to push my book, but to anybody who can give you information, before you go shopping for a camera, if you understand the basics of exposure and what ISOs are and shutter speeds and lens openings, then you can understand more of what they're trying to sell you. Because all cameras, when you get down to the basics, work the same way. The rest is basically bells and whistles. And so if you can walk in there and understand what an ISO is. I was looking at the recently about to be discontinued Canon PowerShot, and its ISO range goes from 100 to 25,000 ISO. And if you don't know what ISO is, you're not impressed. If you're one of these people who thought that 400 was great, you're impressed.
And that particular, and that's going out, that's no longer going to be...
They've discontinued the PowerShot G7X Mark II. It was only introduced last year, February of 2017. It's already being marked down to under $700. The new model, which is also very cool, will be coming out, but it's around $1,200.
Yeah.
There's a big battle going on. You know, the compact point-and-shoot that was big for a while has all been wiped out by phone cameras.
Yeah.
And now mirrorless cameras are going, and Sony had the lead for a while, and both Nikon and Canon are coming out with mirrorless removable lens cameras. It's a very strange time to be looking for cameras. It really is.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, it really has, there's been a sea change, hasn't there? Well, you imagine?
It's absolutely astounding. And the trick is, depending who you talk to, if you talk to a professional photographer, you know, like my buddy Bob Metcalf in La Crosse, he is still using a mirror DSLR and the lenses he's always used because he knows what they do and he trusts them. And professionals are very conservative about changing. But the same kind of thing is going on now with people like Olympus pushing mirrorless as they used to do back in the 70s when they were pushing smaller, lighter cameras. The same, you know, they're getting them out to professionals to use and doing ads with them, taking pictures. It's exactly the same thing. The mirror flipping up and down camera will probably be gone in 10 years.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing to me. And so many people are taking photos now. It's just with their phone. And do you have some good tips for taking good photos with a phone?
Well, basically, again, you know, you got to look at the lenses. Now, generally, the bigger brand names that you're using have better lenses on them. You know, the off brands will not. And also, generally speaking, any lens that you can stick on the front, you know, that I saw an ad for these little tiny lenses that stick on a little magnetic sticker thing. They're saying, turns your iPhone into a DSLR. No, it doesn't. But there are now multiple lens cameras that combine images. That they're moving ahead. That will get so much better so quickly that you'll be very surprised. But right now, the market for the mid-range, the little compact cameras, I saw a Nikon 20-megapixel point-and-shoot with very simple controls. They were clearing it out for $30.
You know, $30.
$30. I'm going, 20 megapixels. I would have killed for 20 megapixels a few years ago. You know, it's just crazy. It really is. Also, the thing that you talked, we had the gentleman with his Lumix, and I was suggesting look at your manual. I have a Finepix bridge camera that says Wi-Fi on it, and I didn't bother reading about this. I can connect this. There's an app for it. I can connect this thing wirelessly to my tablet or my smartphone, and I can see what the camera sees, and I can adjust the zooming. So I can put this thing on a tripod if I want to do a family portrait, and using my, you know, my tablet, I can compose and take the picture wirelessly.
Absolutely amazing.
It really is. But you got to look at the specifications and spend some time understanding what the basic specifications are. You know, the lenses and the shutter speed. Without that, you're kind of shooting in the dark.
Yeah, you really are. Jack Solsha, our guest today, author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. His website, sillycatvalley.com, and for the book, acpress.com. He talked about, do you want to be Ansel Adams or do you want to be Andy Warhol? You take a look at Brianne Chasseau's photos, and you might see that she can combine both in the same photo. It's amazing to me.
I'm deeply flattered by what you think of my work. Thank you, Larry.
By the way, she's here to help me talk about gifts right now. Your gift, it's so important. That's because gifts from people like you are the single largest source of funding for WPR programs. Your gift keeps the programs, all the programs you enjoy, going strong. So I hope you'll invest in your future listening right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we've had 10 listeners invest in their future listening this hour. Thank you. And you can join them by making your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day.
We still have 10 more to go, though, in the next 4 minutes. So if you haven't contributed, now's a good time. WPR programs are listener-powered. That means that your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 helps pay for the programs you rely on. It really does make a difference.
And we're having sort of an all questions answered conversation about cameras this hour. And this is a really special thing that really exists solely at WPR. And it's great because it lets you get your questions answered and put your own thoughts in too so that you can share your support of a topic with others. And WPR is also listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, you make shows like this possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take just a few minutes and make your pledge now.
If you've never given to WPR before, it's easy, and here's what to expect. A very short process, takes a few minutes. You answer some basic questions, your name, address, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay for it.
And that's it. Make your first donation to WPR. You'll feel good about it because listener support is such a huge part of what makes WPR happen. And many first-time donors give $10 a month, and that's about $120, and the amount is totally up to you. Visit WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
I would say closets and closets full of clothes that I never wore.
I bought a pair of backcountry skis a few years ago that I have never used.
I bought an extremely cheap violin case that was so cheap that I threw it away within 10 minutes of opening it.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. one you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Here's how you do it. You just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution right now. Larry Mueller here with Brian Shaw. So listener support, the single biggest source of funding for our programs here. The ones that you rely on. That's why your support during the spring membership drive is so important. And if your gift is $10 a month or it's $100 a month, doesn't matter. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And it takes just a few minutes to make your gift to WPR. Your support makes the difference. Visit WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And it's pretty easy to give, as we talked about. We've got how many? Oh, we're still stuck on 10 here.
I believe in the listeners. They'll take us through to the end.
They will take it. We've got a couple of minutes to go here to reach our goal of 20 pledges. We have 10 to go. Your gift right now helps us get there at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Such an important part of the funding of the programs you enjoy. We need your help.
We certainly do. And you can show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. And while you're doing that, remember to ask for Reach Out and Read as a thank you gift. Do two good things at once when you give $10 a month or more. Visit WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make your make today the day you increase your support. Add $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Jack Socia coming back after our look at the news, and he'll talk some more and take your questions. But in the meantime, if you haven't contributed yet, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're taking a look at photography today. We'll look at cameras. We're looking at how to take a good photo with our guest today, Jack Socia. He's back with us, been with us a number of times over the last, at least 5 years. He is a photography instructor, author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. And he's here, again, to answer your photography questions. And I hope you'll join in. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Or you can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Jack, are you doing a lot of instruction these days?
Mostly what I'm trying to do is to do more writing right now, especially during the winter. I have been kind of jammed in, unable to get out to many places, but mostly it's just helping out people on a one-to-one basis and working on some new writing. I'm dealing with a couple of instructional things I'm working on for both self-publishing and also the other part of photography, which is using your computer. I'm still struggling with a manuscript called Where'd My File Go? And the problem is that not everybody wants to read a print book version of it, but if we give an electronic version, they won't find it. And I would love to hear from your listeners. I'm quite serious. I'm interested in that book, Where'd My File Go? And I'm also, because we've been self-publishing for more than 20 years, we're trying to work on a basic how-to guide to self-publish so you don't get stuck with stuff you don't need. But I'm curious as to what listeners, what format they would like. Do they want to read a book? Do they want an audio book? Do they want an electronic book? Probably not a video. We're trying to stay away from that because it's more costly to produce. But you're welcome to drop me a note at editor@acpress.com. How would you like to receive the information if you are interested in either Where'd My File Go or the self-publishing guide, because we've been doing that for quite some time.
Yeah.
But speaking of guides, I got something here for you now. The mirrorless thing is making cameras smaller, which is very good because, as we know, we're all getting older. I have a new guide to buying a camera that you may enjoy. It's age-based.
Ah.
A little tongue-in-cheek here now.
Yeah.
When you were 20, you carried at least 10 pounds of camera bodies and lenses in a big bag. That's 160 ounces. Now, deduct 1 ounce for each year of your age. If you're 70, deduct 70 ounces. Subtract that from the 160 to find the weight you'll be happy carrying.
Oh, I love that. Well, you know, it's always kind of fun to have a big, heavy camera bag with all those lenses in it.
It sure used to be. But I do see on photo forums people saying, I'm taking a safari trip to Africa. I don't want to bring a whole bunch of cameras and lenses. What should I buy? And it's a very serious topic. Fortunately, there are now bridge cameras. And I was shocked. Sony has come out with one. I don't have the model number, but they have a bridge camera that costs more than $1,000. So I mean, it's a real serious bridge camera. And I think eventually the days of removable lenses that you change out will be as unusual as mirrors will be in a few years.
Is that right?
Well, I've got this Fuji, I mean, and this thing has got this a 50x zoom built into it.
Wow.
And that's more than I'll ever use.
Yeah. Wow.
But again, we're used to, you know, the way things were with when, you know, we had to move. Then zoom lenses came along, and we stopped carrying all those lenses. Well, pretty soon the zoom lenses are getting so good, and there's a lot of computer corrections built into the camera, that you may not need to change the lens. You've got a 28mm to 1200mm zoom. Maybe you don't need a camera that has movable lenses.
Yeah. Well, Pat in, speaking of lenses and so forth, Pat in Duluth, Minnesota has something, I think, along those lines, maybe. Pat, you there? Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for this program. I consider myself an amateur photographer, and I'm wondering, I went online to see his new book that's revised. Is that book appropriate for someone who's doing macro photography? And the other thing I wanted to comment on is he was mentioning how we would like the format to be for his future books. I would love the written word on paper in a traditional book. But then if it were to be revised or he was adding information, then I'd love to go online and just, you know, access the new information. But I would vote for a book.
Okay. I appreciate the help on that. Macro photography is discussed in the book in the sense that it talks about the different tools to do it, because some people will just put a supplemental lens on the front of their normal lens. Others will buy a special lens for macro photography. Others will buy bellows. And the trick is, once again, that when you're dealing with macro photography, there's a lot of light loss that goes on, and it really helps to understand f-stops and ASAs or ISOs and basically how the camera deals with exposure. So in that sense, yes, although it is not, there's not like three chapters on macro photography, I'm afraid.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Pat. Thanks very much for calling. Now, when you talk, somebody might be saying, well, what the heck is macro photography?
Close-up.
Close-up, yeah.
Close-up, yeah. And there's different ways of doing it. You know, a lot of people are copying photographs. And again, the simplest way is not always the best way. There are supplemental lenses. They usually come in sets of three that screw on the front of your normal lens. But there are specialty lenses that are very high quality. And also there are things called bellows that you can put between your lens and the camera body to get really down to the, you know, to the bug-eye view. However, these are different disciplines, and the lighting is really critical in a lot of them. But for some people, it's a fascinating world, especially for flowers and things like that.
Yeah. You know, talking about close-up got me to thinking about just composing photos. And one of the things, if I'm just snapping a photo with my phone, and it's an iPhone, I forget what it is, 6S or something like that, get almost, it seems like, uncomfortably close to a group of people, for example, and I can still get them all in. And I think a lot of the photos I see are taken from too far away, to be honest.
Yeah, there used to be, I forget which photographer it was who was talking about, if you want more impact, get closer. And then one of my original products called How to Buy Your First Digital Camera, we discussed zoom lenses. We call what we call the foot-powered zoom. You just walk closer to the subject. But, most people are afraid to get real close. And for impact, that is good. And, again, it's what you're taking a picture of. If you're doing street photography, sometimes you want to do a little cropping later on, things like that. One thing that is lost now, which is a shame, and you can only find them in higher-end cameras, are optical viewfinders. It used to be the plain old thing you look through, and now you only find them in cameras that cost $1,000 or more.
The same with knobs that you can turn to adjust things. It's just amazing what has changed.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Old school style cameras are getting pricey. And also, if you go to Kickstarter, you will see the attempted revival of ancient lenses that we didn't want 30 years ago. They used to cost $35. Now they're trying to resurrect the company in East Germany to make them again, and they want $1,200. Now, what goes around comes around, and it's all new to people who were not around back then. But it's really funny to see this. Some of the stuff may work. There's even one company that is trying to get Kickstarter money to build an all-mechanical, manual, 35-millimeter film camera. And I'm saying, why don't you go to a garage sale?
Oh, boy. Bruce in Toma has something for us. Bruce, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for putting me on, Larry. What I wanted to know is I'm thinking about buying a T6 Canon camera. I used to have a Yashica, manual one, and I got too much work to be done to it, and I was told a T6, or they got a new one that just came out, might be a pretty decent camera to buy.
Well, Canon in general is the leader in the market right now. They really had a head start over everybody. I would be probably more interested in thinking about what you plan to shoot and finding a lens that really suits your needs and putting your money into the Canon lens, and then maybe even buying a less expensive one. A lot of the most expensive Canon cameras and others, they're also doing 4K video and things like that and have microphone inputs. If you don't need that kind of thing, if that's not in your game plan, you might be better off putting more money into a really, really good lens and just an average body, because the images are going to look the same, basically.
What makes a good lens, by the way?
Well, it's the mechanical construction, the use of spherical elements, coatings. It's important that the electronic communications work well, and this is one reason why you may want to buy the brand name lens of the camera that you have, because sometimes other ones are reverse engineered to try to make it work, and they don't always do so. But an aperture. Now, it used to be we always had to buy lenses with big apertures to get lots of light through to take pictures in low light. Well, now if you have 25,000 ISO, that may not be quite as important, although there are certain Eglin bokeh that these large aperture lenses can do. But you may get by with something you don't need F2 anymore for a lot of things. But I would just try to find out a range and read some reviews of them to see, do you need to go from 28 to 1200 millimeter? Is there image stabilization built into it that connects with the camera? Lots of things like that. But the main thing is, what are you shooting? If you're shooting, the dog in the backyard, it's not the same as if you're trying to go out there and shoot eagles on a bluff from half a mile away.
Yeah.
My daughter's in ballet, and I was going to take ballet pictures and stuff. Maybe some.
There you go. Yeah, so there's two things you would need. In that case, you will need a lens that has a relatively large aperture, because you're not going to be in the most bright light. And you may need the camera body that has the ISO 25,000. And you may also need to get very familiar with the metering patterns available in the camera, because when they're spot lit or whatever, that can really fool the camera.
Oh.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Sure. Thanks very much for calling.
A lot of these cameras also have what they call auto bracketing, where you can set the camera to take a quick burst of 3 or 5 shots, each one at a little different exposure, which may also be very useful.
Yeah, that's I've found that to be quite useful. As a matter of fact, one time or another, when if something comes up you haven't planned for and you want to take that picture, taking that burst.
Yeah. These cameras are not perfect. They're good. But they can be fooled by, overly light things, overly dark things mixed in with the picture. They've gotten a lot better than they used to be. But again, if you don't, now that they're digital, you're not wasting film. So if you want to do a spread of bracketing, it works well.
So you mentioned earlier, Jack, how people, if they wanted to chime in on how they like to get their books, is it online? Is it a paper book? Is it what is it? Where do they go for that again?
I would drop me a note at editor@acpress.com. I'm doing some revisions of both websites. I'm actually working with putting up some things, as I did with this little yellow camera we just talked about, that little funny one, putting them up as a PDF file so people can actually download the whole thing and look at it. And also, many modern computers can now read them to you as well. So for people who have vision problems, could just listen to it. But, we're just this is not just us, but other organizations I work for. How do you get information out to people? We're in a changing world of YouTube videos and everything else you can think of. So that's our big conundrum: is do we want to send you an EPUB you can look at on your tablet or whatever, or do you want a bookmark?
Yeah.
Or do you want me talking to you? And if you want me talking to you, I don't think you want a CD anymore. I'm not sure about that. Yeah. We could put it on an Edison cylinder. Yeah, that may work well too. But so we're really looking into this because we have a lot of stuff that we want to get done, but the delivery aspect of it is really
key.
It's moving as fast as cameras are right now.
Jack Zosha, our guest today. Always fun to talk with him, photography instructor. He is the author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. You can go to acpress.com if you want to take a look at that book. Or if you want to get some more information at sillycatvalley.com, he's got a lot of great tips and other great information about cameras, especially, if you don't have Brianne Chasseau around to ask questions, and Jack's not there either. It's a very, very useful thing to have. And Brianne's back with me.
Hello.
Hi, good to see you back here. And she's here to help me with our spring membership drive, our WPR spring membership drive. Your gift's so important. It's important because gifts from people like you are the single largest source of funding for our programs. So your gift keeps this program, all the programs you enjoy, going strong. So I hope you'll invest in your future listening right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
I am pleased to report, Larry, that last hour we heard from 11 members. So
good.
Thank you to everyone who pledged. And our goal during this half hour is to get 10 pledges.
10 pledges. We can do that. You know what? Because we're listener powered. And listeners, they are a powerful voice and they get on the line. Sometimes they call 888-202-2552 and make a contribution. Other times they just go online to WPR.org and make their contribution because it helps pay for the programs you rely on. It makes a difference.
And your tax dollars, both federal and state, they do support WPR. They each make up a percentage of the funding for WPR programs. And thank you for that.
Thank you very much for that. And thanks, too, if you have been considering pledging and you've never pledged before, this would be a wonderful time to do it. I'm looking here. We have no new pledges right now.
So maybe Brianne? Our goal is to get one new never pledged before to Wisconsin Public Radio, and we want that to be you. Voluntary listener support is actually the single biggest percentage of support for WPR programs. You make the difference. You make the quality, variety, and independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you love, that you listen to. Visit WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And make that first donation to WPR because you're going to feel great. I feel great every time I give, which is pretty much every fund drive. And I do it because it's a lot of fun. And I know from talking to other first-time donors who give often $10 a month, they start with, or maybe $20. The amount really up to you. They really enjoy doing it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm John Nevins from Janesville, Wisconsin, and today I'd like to just share a little bit about why public radio means something to me. As a young boy, I listened to the radio quite a bit, because we didn't have television. And I remember laying many times on a Saturday morning in front of the radio and listening to the programming and imagining that I was with the Lone Ranger or with whoever it was that was on the radio. And my parents forbid me to listen to the Green Hornet, but we used to sneak off and do it anyway.
He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America.
Today I don't have to sneak off at all. I listen to it daily in the kitchen as I fix breakfast in the morning and at noon when I'm fixing dinner. It's a very special part of my life, and I am very, very proud to be a member of WPR and to be here today to share that thanks with the organization.
You can join in. Here's the number to call. It's 888-202-2552. Or go online. Make your contribution there at WPR.org. Larry Mueller here with Brian Shasso. Helping, I hope, urge you and cause you to make a pledge right now. You might not have a life coach. You might not have a personal trainer. Or you might have an expert like Brianne around with your photography, or you might not.
Or you might not have Jack Socha, like today, our photography expert on speed dial, and that's okay.
And when you listen to the Ideas Network, you get this great advice from all these people, all these experts, and what's the cost to you? Well, you get to choose the cost to you. The Ideas Network is your source for helpful information. I hope you'll support it right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
And this spring membership drive, we have a special opportunity for you. I really love this. It's the Reach Out and Read thank you gift. So when you give $10 a month or more, you can get this gift.
I like it too because it provides books to young children during their wellness doctor visit. Donate now. You'll support the WPR programs you rely on. And you can help Wisconsin kids get a good start in literacy at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And your gift at $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount. And how many pledges do we need yet?
We would love to have 7 more pledges this half hour. But we have had so many already, and we're really grateful for everything we've gotten because every little bit counts. And I want to actually take a moment, given our conversation about Reach Out and Read. WPR is really, you know, privileged to be a part of, you know, young children's education. And I love this comment from Kathleen from Larson. She says, "Thank you for sparking fantastic discussions with my kids on the way to school." Thank you, Kathleen.
I love that. You know what she did? I'm not sure. She might have gone to WPR.org or she might have phoned 888-202-2552 and made her contribution. And while she was there, she added that nice note. What about you? This would be a great time for you to do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And whatever your reason is for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio and to The Larry Mueller Show, that's also your reason for giving. Maybe WPR is your source for in-depth news or interesting talk, and that's about a variety of topics. Maybe you love the weekend shows.
I like the weekend shows a lot. We've got some great ones. And you might ask yourself as you're listening right now, why am I listening right now to Larry talk on here? But I tell you what, you're listening because you enjoy what you're hearing here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And now that you've answered that question, it's time for you to give. For that very reason, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We are going to have to go away here in just a few seconds, as a matter of fact. But there's still time for you to make your contribution and have it count during this program. So if you haven't done it yet, now's the time to do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution right now. Thanks if you've already contributed.